So welcome everybody. This is our last conference call for 2023. And if Deanne and Juliana join, it's also their last conference call for their certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership because they started with us last January. So that's kind of exciting for them as well. Last week what we did is we explored what community means to us and the many different ways we might describe or identify community. So in your required learning activities, I really enjoyed reading them because you all used a different way to describe your community. And you use words, some people use words like compartmentalized, guarded, disconnected. But you also use words like self-sufficient, having potential, vibrant, energetic, and persistent. I like some of those. I like the analogies to animals and gardens and dandelions was a really good post. I appreciated reading that one. And April, thank you for the beautiful photo you shared. If you guys haven't looked at April's post from this morning, take a look. She shared a gorgeous picture of Luhaka. Hopefully I said that right. So in your post, some of you also mentioned how recreation and cultural activities can help your community be more integrated and have more compassion for each other and understanding and just be happy in fun and active ways. I also appreciated, Robin, your point that maybe we don't want to change our community. Maybe we build on the strengths that we already have and help it grow from there in the way that it wants to grow. So appreciate that comment too. So this week we're going to look a little bit more at community building, what it is, as well as when and how we might want to use what I'm going to call a community development approach. And so that's explained a bit in the slides, and I'll use those to present as well. Hi, Katana, I can see you now. So what we'll do is we'll start with introductions, and we'll go to looking at some of the topics and some of the questions that I had that's on slide 27. And then I'm hoping to save a little bit of time for the end of the call to do a fun year-end activity to celebrate our community. And as I mentioned, there's prizes, so if you send me your address afterwards, you get the prize in the mail in time for Christmas, hopefully. So let's begin with a round of introductions. I'm going to go in the order that you joined the call. I will tell you the order as we go. If you can introduce yourself. And if you'd like to, this isn't required, but if you have a word that describes our Recreation North community, maybe you can share that too. And I think Adam's new with this learning event, and Jasmine, you've done on the last one. So maybe if you guys can, if you haven't really met each other yet, everybody in the group, just say who you are, the role in your community, and which community you're from as part of your introduction. Okay, so let's go to Adam first.
Yeah, hi everyone. My name's Adam. I've been living in Yellowknife for about 14 years now. I'm working as the Director of Professional Development for the NWT Recreation and Parks Association, and taking these courses to learn a little bit more about what Recreation North is and sort of discover what involvement I might have with it in the future. And one word to describe this community might be unknown, since this is the first course I've attended.
Absolutely, that's completely valid. Thanks, Adam. Okay, we're going to go to Jasmine, and then Igor, and then Katan, and then Breton. So over to you, Jasmine, to introduce yourself, and if you have a word, I know you're pretty new to our community too, so if there isn't one that you can think of, that's fine too.
Yeah, thanks. Hi everyone, my name is Jasmine. I live in Cambridge Bay. I'm kind of from here, but also kind of from the Halluj, and I'm the recreation coordinator. Fairly new to my position. I started in October, and I'm just learning as I go, and right now we're super busy with Christmas planning. And
Yeah, Christmas is a big deal in Nunavut, I've learned, so that's lots. Should be lots of fun. Thanks, Jasmine. Let's go Igor, Katan, Breton, and then Myla. So over to you, Igor.
Thank you. My name is Igor, and I live in Chulita. My position is Director of Recreation here. And although my community seems and looks a little bit sad, I promise that I will make big change, and I will make it happier. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Igor. And Ketan, are you in a spot where you can't talk? Okay, so Ketan popped in the chat. If you can't see the chat, she says she's Ketan. She lives in Mendenhall, which is a small community in the Yukon, about an hour's drive west or a little less, depending on the roads, from Whitehorse. And she's volunteering in her role as a community recreation coordinator, in addition to working and raising a family, right? So, and one word she'd used to describe our Rec North community is keen. So that's awesome. I like to hear that. Thank you. Okay, so Breton, Myla, and then Melanie, April, and Robin. So over to you, Breton.
Right. Hello, everybody. Yeah, so my name is Breton. I am located here in Iqaluit, and I've been here since June, so almost 6 months now. And I am the Recreation Services Manager here. And one word I would use to describe the Recreation North community, I think, is creative. I think even since I joined and the conference call has had, picked up a lot of good ideas and suggestions from people and what they do in their communities.
That's great. Thanks, Breton. And I enjoyed reading your post about Iqaluit and the changes. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, let's go. Myla, Melanie, April, Robin, and then I see Olivier's joined. And I'll pop the question in the chat again, Olivier, so you can see what it is. So over to you, Myla.
My name is Myla, and I'm from CarMax. And the word that I would describe our recreation or community would be a fellowship.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. Okay, over to you, Melanie, then April, Robin, and Olivier.
My name is Melanie. I live and work in Watson Lake as a rec programmer. And the word that I would choose is enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic. Thank you. There's a lot of enthusiasm. This is great. Like, we have these really good conference calls, and I sort of walk away feeling re-inspired. So thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Over to you, April, and then Robin and Olivier.
Hi, everyone. My name is April Olivier. I'm from Ulukhovstok, Northwest Territories. I'm the recreation coordinator. And one word I'd use to describe my community would be close-knit. Everyone knows each other, and we work together to achieve some goals in the community. And we're pretty busy working on Christmas also.
That's great. And we'll look forward to in January hearing how all the Christmas events that those of you, especially in Nunavut, have planned. So thanks for joining us, April. Over to Robin and then Olivier. I can see your mouth moving, Robin, but I can't hear you. I think there's something with your microphone maybe not working. Do you mind popping it in the chat while you troubleshoot, and we'll come back to you? Because I can tell you're unmuted. I can see you unmute, but I just couldn't hear. Thanks. Over to you, Olivier. What we're doing is introducing ourselves and using one word to describe the Recreation North community that we have here. And I think you just need to unmute. There we go.
Hi, my name is Olivier, and I'm from Cambridge State. The word I can use will be joy.
Would be what? Sorry?
In French, le plaisir.
Oh, okay, le plaisir. So, sort of like a, is that right? Like a pleasure to be together, or
yeah.
Enjoyment, or
yeah.
That's great, thank you. And as I might have missed a little bit about myself, so I'm Caroline Sparks, for those of you who are meeting me for the first time. I'm based out of Whitehorse, which is on the traditional territory of the Kwamlyn Dun First Nation and Tong Kwachin Council. And I find this community inspiring. This is the sixth year that I've delivered full-time, like all the different 19 learning events, and I learn something every time we do this. So I really appreciate all of you and the work that you put into it. Robin, do you want to try again? I noticed you sort of going, want to try unmuting? No, it didn't work. Okay. I'll pop the call in case you want to like just phone in too, but diverse is a great word, and we actually, our Recreation North community covers 40% of our country, because the three territories cover 40%. So we're just diverse geographically, but also in our backgrounds and interests. So thank you for that, Robin. What we're going to do now is explore community building a bit more, beginning with slide 17. So I'm going to try sharing my slides, and then as when we have conversations, I'll unshare them, just because that way I can see all of your faces. When I share my screen, it sort of takes people's faces away. So let me see if I can do this starting from here. Okay, and we're going to go to slide 17 because we did all those other ones. So hopefully you can see this here. So let's talk a little bit about what is community building. So community building is a field of practice, and you might also hear it referred to as community development. So I have education in community development, so it says CD after that designation. The goal of community building or community development is to get local people in your regions or communities to act upon things that impact well-being and quality of life for the bigger community. So building community means that you need to involve the right people. Often it's people with those lived experiences. So in recreation, in your last learning event, you talked to people who've been in your community for a while and interviewed them. And that's one way to learn about recreation in your community. And I could see even those of you who've been in your community for a long time, like Ketan, you mentioned learning something about recreation from the people you interviewed and what might work or not work. So I think that it's really critical that we involve those people. And also when we enable people to develop their strengths, their assets, and their capacity, they can make a difference as well. So then the responsibility doesn't just land on you as a recreation provider to be and do everything. We try and, I know it's hard sometimes, but try and inspire, motivate, and empower people to take a lead role in recreation as well. As some of you found, there's opportunities to community building community, and there's also barriers. You might have seen some of these in the TEDx or talk that was linked on slide 18. And so I just wanted to take a moment just to identify, because community building isn't always easy, but let's take a moment to identify perhaps some of the barriers we might come up against to building community through recreation. So I'm going to unshare my slide, and we're going to start our circle this time. Igor, I'm going to put you on the spot because I know you always have amazing thoughts, so sorry. We'll start with Igor. We'll just alternate this circle that we do. So it'll go Igor, Ketan, you can pop in the chat, Breton, Myla, Melanie, and so on around, finishing with Jasmine this time. So Igor, just one thing, but in your experience sort of building, supporting, empowering, engaging your community, what's a barrier to doing that? Like, what makes it difficult or challenging?
I would say one thing that comes up in my mind, I would say that is like simply understanding of importance of being close and being engaged and being united as a big family, because due to some bad vices of people or due to some problems in the past, I think that is not working very well, at least in Toledo right now. But we are working hard to make change in the future. So there are definitely some barriers to that, but as I mentioned, we are going to change that.
That's great. So really, sort of that past history of relationships of how people have them or build them, that can be a barrier. So thank you for sharing that. Ketan, I'll read what you pop in the chat when you're able to do that. Ketan's got like personality conflicts. So similar to Igor, history between people that don't get along. in a small community, that's really hard to change sometimes, and that can definitely be a barrier to building community. And barriers around time to participate. It's one thing to offer something that people just show up to, but if you want to really involve them in volunteering for something, it takes more time, your time and their time. So thanks. Those are great examples of barriers. Okay, let's go to Breton, Myla, Melanie, and then April. And again, just for those of you who are new to the way I run my conference calls, if you can't think of anything at the moment, or you just find that you're really engaged in listening to other people, you can pass. Just let me know, I'm listening, I'd like to pass, because in my opinion, listening is just as important to learning as contributing to it. It's different ways that we engage. So don't feel that you have to have a response to every question I ask. Okay, thanks for letting me add that in, Breton. So let's go to Breton, Myla, Melanie.
Yeah, I seem to kind of just mentioned it there, but time was kind of the one that I was thinking off the top of my head. Essentially, you know, sometimes you have other priorities or you're just feeling tired, for example. You have other responsibilities that you have to take care of, either, you know, work and family stuff and everything else that's going on in life. So I just find that obviously available time and making it a priority can be a big issue.
Exactly, and community building, as we'll see, takes time, whereas just doing something sometimes is so much faster. Like, I know that if I do it myself, it's often faster than trying to teach somebody else how to do it. So time can be a big factor there. Thanks, Breton. Okay, let's go to Myla, Melanie, and then April. So Myla, do you, in your experience, what is a barrier or something that makes it more difficult to work with and build an engaged community?
I find a barrier could be finding passionate and available people, as well as bringing people together at the same time, can be quite difficult. I definitely agree with Katan's statement about personality conflicts. It's too true for small communities.
That's great. Thank you very much. And over to you, Melanie. I know you're fairly new in Watson Lake, but and you're probably learning a lot about your community. Have you found any, or can you think of any barriers to building community? You just have to unmute.
I agree with Katan. Definitely personality conflicts. Or a negative mindset that can hinder community or can be a barrier to community building. And then also lack of communication, I find often, because there are a lot of players that are putting on things, but there is no communication between each other. And so we are almost taking away, like, we are putting so much effort into what we're doing, but we are kind of taking away from it because we're kind of sort of splitting the community. Because there is no communication about timing. So there can be a day where there's like 5 different events going on, which is too bad. And they're all great, right? So, and this kind of, lack of communication. And maybe sometimes it's also economical challenges. You know, people are just like not having the resources to participate or, you know.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you say about the coordination. So communication and being able to coordinate what's going on. And if we really want to build relationships, like what Igor was mentioning, we really want to be able to coordinate those activities so people don't feel like they have to pick and choose sometimes. I mean, maybe in a big community it's different, but in a small community, I think that's so important. Thanks, Melanie. Go to April, and then I'll read what Robin's, or you guys can read what Robin's popped in the chat, and then we'll go Olivier, and I see Juliana's joined us, so I'll put Juliana in after Adam and Jasmine. So April, any thoughts? Right, go ahead.
Barriers to the community, community building, I think of, like, you know, cultural ways where a lot of people have some knowledge and some people don't. So when they kind of attend these events and stuff like that, there's a lot of people who know how to do cultural things, and then a lot of people who don't know how. So when they're doing these community gatherings, there's some people who know how to do these things and some that don't. So,
Yeah, so I guess part of that is also working with the people who are comfortable with your cultural tradition and helping them find ways to teach other people, because sometimes it can make you feel left out if you don't know. So I see what you're saying. Thank you very much, April. Okay, and Robin's mentioned like people being stuck in the past. Things aren't like they used to be, or we used to always do it that way. That's a very common line. So thank you very much for that, Rob. You got some good insights into community living out there in Harsh Lake. So thanks. Let's go to Olivier, Adam, Jasmine, and Juliana. So Olivier, any thoughts about what a barrier might be to building community?
I think the previous people that spoke before me already even said, they say almost everything. I think the time, sometimes we just don't have enough time to do things, and people resisting to change. It's one of the big factors. They want to do things the way you want to try a new thing, and people are like, no, we always do it this way, and it has to be this way. So. And durability with workers, like sometimes I think in the recreation department, if I can speak about my community, is that the coordinator doesn't stay long enough to actually have time to build anything.
That's really important. Those transitions of staff and stuff are hard too, so thank you for sharing that. Thanks, Olivia. Let's go to Adam, Jasmine, and then I see Juliana's popped in the chat, so I'll read that. So, Adam, any thoughts about what a barrier to community building might be from your experiences?
Well, lots of good ones already mentioned by everyone. Some really good thoughtful answers there. Maybe one additional one would be, in some cases, the limited expertise, where I think certainly seen, especially in smaller communities, you've got very motivated and driven and well-intentioned individuals doing their very best to perform duties that they're just not actually trained for, because they were hired as the best person for the job, and there weren't necessarily the supports and resources around them to help them succeed right off the bat. So I've seen a number of initiatives either fail or just take an awful long time to become successful, because we're put into these roles that we don't necessarily know what we're doing right from the get-go. And we do have to figure it out on the go, and whether that's something like leadership and communication skills or proposal writing or navigating legislative matters, there's lots of steep learning curves, I think, that are encountered that can create challenges for us advancing various projects and initiatives.
And you just answered why we jumped into creating the Recreation North Training Program. It was to provide that support for people in really small communities who were put into those positions as recreation coordinators and might not have had any experience. So very true. Thank you, Adam. And that's been a case for a long time, so thanks. Jasmine, over to you. From your experience, is there a barrier that might not have been mentioned to community building? And I know it's hard to go at the end of the hard circle, so...
Yeah, I always feel like it's a little repetitive towards the end. I definitely agree with what everyone had mentioned. Time management, and also maybe not enough people in our department. I think that the lack of recreation coordinators or people within the recreation department might be a barrier for community building. You know, we have to prioritize and pick and choose which programs we have time to run. If we had more people, then I feel like maybe we would be able to be more engaged with the community. Not that we aren't, but, you know, on a higher level, I think that would be it. And I'd also like to say probably a lack of resources for community members to participate in the events that we do provide. Even though it's a really small town, I feel like a lot of community members say that they don't have a ride, it's too far, they don't want to walk, it's too cold. They don't have a sitter, or just the lack of resources for the community members, I think, to maybe participate in these types of things that we offer.
Yeah, and it's definitely a balancing act with that. So I really appreciate what you were describing about, you know, the having enough staff, because it does take time to connect with and work with your community. It's a lot longer to, or it takes more time to develop volunteers who will lead programs than it does to just perhaps lead the programs yourself. So thanks for that, Jasmine. And Juliana, welcome. I let everybody know this is your last conference call for in your certificate for Northern Recreation Leadership. So I'm glad you were able to join us. And you've mentioned that beliefs and values are helpful, but they can also be barriers. So if people come with opposing values, sometimes that can create the conflict some of you have mentioned. Did you want to add anything else, Juliana?
No, yes, this is the, what I try to express. Sometimes you have people with different beliefs, and they are trying to put a different reason for why you're doing the things that you're trying to do. So instead of gathering and going towards the same goal, things you start to get split up, and we can see how difficult those things they can get.
Thank you, and it sounds like you've got a little one with you. So,
sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. We all have families that we need to look after. So, thanks for taking the time to join us. Okay, so I'm just going to jump into back to the slides here, and let's have a look at slide 19. So you can see here what I've tried to explain, and you will see this slide in other learning events. I've tried to explain that there's different ways that we can approach how we do recreation. So the first way, the one that you can see on the right-hand side, is called direct delivery. And the second on the left, which is the topic of this learning event, is more around community development or community building. So I just wanted to explain these two because you'll see different perspectives coming out through different learning events, and there's going to be times when one works well or times when you want to use a different approach. And I think that we add variety to our recreation when we can use a blend of these approaches. So with a direct delivery approach, you'll find in most of your communities or organizations, you probably have the responsibility to plan and to deliver recreation programs, services, and events. So in these roles, recreation leaders such as yourselves might be taking direction from some type of community plan, like an official community plan or a strategic plan, and then that guidance encourages you to develop your ideas into programs and events that align with it. So that's kind of a direct delivery approach. It works really well when you're tasked with something and when you have a clear direction, like deliver programs after school for children age 6 to 12. That's pretty good direction to do that. But in community recreation, and as we know, community recreation has the potential to address a lot of underlying issues and make our communities a better place to live. So sometimes we encounter challenges, unmet needs, or issues, and we just don't know how to solve them. We can't figure it out on our own, and maybe we don't have the time to figure it out on our own. So often in these cases, it's helpful for a community to find its own solutions and you to support that. Rather than being the one saying, this is what has to happen, you take the back seat and provide the support and move them forward. And so this is more of a community development or a community building approach. As we've mentioned, it can take a lot of time. But on the flip side, a community development approach can empower a community to take charge of what's important to them. And so if you need to address really big issues, like I've heard of communities addressing things like vandalism or different things through more of a community development approach, you may hear of it more in sectors like justice, crime prevention. Those are the ones that I think of the most, but recreation definitely has a role to play as well. So I just want to quickly ask you, and you might not have an answer to this, can you think of any challenges or issues in your community that might be best addressed through a community building approach? And you're welcome to pass if you want. If you have more than one example, maybe share one so that somebody else has the opportunity to share one too. So just, and let's start with my list here. So we went to Igor. Myra, let's start with you this time in the circle. Sorry to put you on the spot. But can you think of a challenge or issue in your community that is best addressed through a community building approach?
So we are having some issues with with more people attending our programs and events that we put on. So we are going to try and just test it out. We haven't been able to get too many opinions from too many community members about what they'd like to see, or when we do get opinions, we'll put the programming on and then they don't attend. So that is something that I'm hoping we can work on and just experiment with until we can get the numbers up for attendance.
So that's an interesting example, because when you offer programs and you're just not getting people, that's the direct delivery approach. So then that's where you might want to shift how you think about it and try and make it, figure out how to make it more open for people to actually step up so that you start to understand what's important to them. So thanks for explaining that, Myla. Let's go Melanie, April, Robin, Olivier. And again, just if you have any thoughts, if you don't, no worries. So Melanie, do you have any thoughts about a challenge or issue that would be better addressed through a community building approach? And you just need to unmute if you want to.
I'm trying to always keep thinking that we have such a problem to put courses like active sports courses on, or fitness courses, because we do not have certified fitness instructors here. So in a sense, I would love to build more community that others maybe step up to become a community leader in this regard, to have that fitness course, or so we don't need to look from resources outside of Watson Lake, but have them right here. I'm not quite sure if that meets your question, but that's one of our problems here.
Yeah, community building approach is about building capacity within the community.
Yeah, that's
it's also about thinking through things differently. Maybe it's not we need fitness classes, but maybe it's more about how can we support community members to engage in exercise and physical activity so that they're more fit. So for an example, one of the things we were looking at ARPE last week is the Canadian Diabetes Association has a great home resistance band workout that people can just follow online. But how do you make that connection from making them responsible to do it on their own? You don't have to look, but you're not offering the program. What sort of support can you put in place?
But that's not really what I mean. I mean, yes and no. Because what you're suggesting is that's right. But then we are also having a lot of times our recreation center booked with just other events. They are not recreational. So there's a complaint about, it's more like a conference center than actually a recreation center. Mm-hmm. So where's all the recreation in that recreation center? Even though we do have that, and this is something I would to fill more this kind of spot, and I cannot do this without community. It's a really hard thing to do over here. Yeah.
And that comes back to the values and beliefs and opinions and all those barriers that we just mentioned. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
April, do you have any thoughts about challenges or issues in your community that would be better addressed through a community building approach? And then we'll go Robin and Olivier.
More courses for qualified people to run certain kind of sports or events. I think the issue would be lack of more qualified people to help run these events and learn more about community building so that it's more community built events on that.
That makes sense, and I know this is something that you've mentioned right from when we started in September is the lack of opportunities to help people develop their skills, and that's similar to what Adam was mentioning are some of the challenges too, so thank you for that. Robin, did you want to jump in?
I think I got my audio fixed. Is it working? Great. One of the issues that we have is there's so many people who are like, well, we want to see this kind of programming, we want to see this kind of programming, and I've kind of taken to being like, if you know anybody who's willing to facilitate, bring forward that information, rather than just like, what do you want to see? Because I can't get people, like, I can get money, I can make the time. Getting facilitators has been the hardest thing, so I've tried to be like really transparent and communicative with like, if there's something that you want to put on, like, let me work with you to do that. Or if you know somebody who wants to put something on, like, let's work together on that. But as far as just come to me with 100 ideas of things that you want, it doesn't really work for us.
Yeah, thank you. That's really key. Like, it definitely is important to try and build that. So it's a slightly different approach. So that's a good opportunity for community building. Thank you. Olivia, any thoughts on what challenges or issues are best addressed through a community building approach?
I think it's just a lack of experts. So more training will help my community to achieve that kind of stuff. Yeah, we just need more experts. We don't have we're gonna be running the arena very soon, and people that we're gonna hire, we're gonna train them, but I don't think we have enough time to train them properly so they can do a decent job. So
thank you. And Adam, any thoughts from you about you know, some of the issues or challenges in the community that can be addressed through a community development approach?
Yeah, sure. I think anytime that there's any sort of issue that requires the unique perspective of community members that are going to be, like you said, based on their personal experience, based on their perspective, having lived in the community for a period of time, those are all excellent opportunities to engage with the community for input on decision making. In Yellowknife, there's several issues that come to mind. One that's a controversial one frequently in the news is concerns about the homeless population and the impact that has on the downtown. And there's lots of stakeholders involved, and I think any solution there, there's no simple one, I don't think, but any solution is going to have to be, is going to have to involve consultation with all the involved stakeholders, the homeless population itself, plus the downtown business owners, people with families, the city, various levels of government, all need to be engaged in order to figure out what's going to be the best solution available.
Yeah, so if you take what you just described and position it with how Robin explained it, it's the same sort of approach, isn't it? It's bringing people in, getting them to share their ideas, and getting them to see how they can play a role in it, whether it's in a big issue like housing, or whether it's just in how you deliver, how recreation happens in your community. So a lot of similarities I hear between that. Thank you. We'll go Jasmine, Juliana, and then I see Nisha's joined, Igor, Katan, and Breton. And go ahead. Jasmine, any thoughts on, or would you agree with what people have said so far, or anything to add to that? And you just, I noticed you're muted, so I'm not sure if you're able to unmute. Okay, I think maybe Jasmine stepped. Oh, you're listening, you agree with. Okay, that's perfect. Thanks for letting me know. Juliana, I don't know if you want to pop in the chat or jump in with any thoughts to add to that.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe find when we try I don't know, this collaboration and interaction between what we can offer and what the community is looking for, finding that in between, because when we're talking about like values and beliefs or culture, things that people they are used to. Sometimes I remember once somebody was saying, "Oh, we're gonna start having just sleepovers night for 40 to 30 to 45 kids at the Elder's Palace every Friday. That would be really good. We used to do that when we were kids." So I'm like, "Yeah, I need to." There's a lot of things we need to do if we're gonna get like some the age group, like making sure that we have the chaperones. But people are like, "No, before we used to do that, and it worked." So you're trying to make it difficult. So the in between, like, okay, what can we offer, and what do you think that we can offer? And I believe that once, and I've seen sometimes also we get to a point where we say, okay, we are deliberating about what we need to do, what the community is looking for. Now is the time talking about recreation, for example. Is the time for the recreation coordinators or workers to act? So we are going to prepare everything that we have discussed and we thought about, but we need the commitment also for the from the other side, from the attendees. Look, we prepared everything that you guys asked for, but now you just don't show up. So how can we find that there?
Well,
to see what is going on.
And that's the problem sometimes with a direct delivery approach is you think you've heard everything that there is, you plan these great programs and nobody shows up. So sometimes flipping the coin around and placing the responsibility back on the community, or doing what Robin suggested about saying, "I'm here to support you. I'll help you find resources, a facility, funding. I'll help you find training if that's what you need." But you got to step up and do something. And then they have that ownership over what it is. It's hard to do in our small communities. But if you do a little bit of it to start with, you start to empower your community more. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Juliana. Let's go Nisha, Igor, Katan, and Breton. So Nisha, not to put you on the spot, but we're just touching base on if you think there's a challenge or an issue in a community that is best addressed through a community building approach.
Yeah, I really agree with a little bit like what Robert said and Juliana, where people tend to, like, if you just kind of have this idea and implement it and people aren't included in the very beginning, it's like for example, I just keep thinking of the food sovereignty project that I worked on with White River, where, like, I put $120,000 of investment for this garden and worked like a dog and tried to make sure that, like, we had these beautiful vegetables because that's what everybody wanted, and rah, rah, we want this garden. And when it came down to, like, workshops and, like, people actually participating, you'd get the same one, maybe two people all the time. And, like, for that project, it just wasn't sustainable. And so when I left, I ended up just flipping it back and saying, like, this is a community garden. And, you know, if you want, I told my employers at the time, like, if you want this to be more sustainable and for people to stay here and enjoy their job and not hate gardening at the end, you have to, you know, employ a couple extra people. So what we did is we actually ended up just hiring youth and training them to, and started out that way to get them kind of engaged and excited about gardening. And hopefully we build some skills for the future for next summer that they would participate. But I don't know. I think that maybe volunteering is, like, when we're thinking of, like, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of going on a rant. But, yeah, like, I think, like, I think about the comprehensive community plan. You know, there was lots of community-based engagement and development that we did to make that plan. And it's just really difficult when, like, I don't know what's going on with volunteering in this kind of day and age, but
I think
it's easy to find.
Yeah, I think that that's why we're sort of talking about community building, is to try and we'll get to that in just a moment, some of the actions that we can do to do that. So thanks, Nisha. Igor, any thoughts from you about that haven't been mentioned?
Yes, I have one thing to mention because in the past I tried to address a few things through a few presentations that I prepared, and so far I addressed, for example, the importance of active living, and also I addressed elders abuse, and I think those presentations showed great results in community building, and I will continue doing so.
That's great. So you're picking something that recreation can support or address through an approach that engages everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Katan, you popped in that you agree with Myla that people should be invested in providing or leading the event. So absolutely. Hard to do, but absolutely I agree with you. So thank you. And Breton, any thoughts from you about a challenge or an issue that can be addressed through community building, or you kind of got most of you agree with what people have said?
I will say not too much else to add on that one. I think everyone pretty much nailed most things to that. I think just lack of or trying to get people to participate and actually be involved with events and stuff is a big one.
Yeah, so let's just take a quick look before we get to the end of our hour. I just want to take a quick look at some of the things that might help you move forward with a community building approach. So I did quite a bit of sort of digging and tried to simplify what I see as how we build community. And as you can see in here, we need to do a few things. Ultimately, we need to empower people because then they act on their own. But some of the ways that we empower people through that is by engaging, including, and helping them see the benefits. So Igor just mentioned the fact that you will, sort of let them see the benefits of working together because of active living or elder abuse. So that would be the benefit piece, what they get out of it. The inclusion, a number of you have talked about bringing the community in. And the engagement might be things like bringing all stakeholders together, bringing people together to learn how to do something together. So if you look at the next slide, where's my arrow there? There it is. Engaging community is about bringing people together. And I know we've talked about that a lot, and it's, to me, engage is a really important word. Because it brings people together, but it's also about developing relationships between individuals, between families, and across sectors, like what Adam mentioned as far as tackling big issues like housing. And when you have that sort of network of relationships, it helps the community take more control and act upon issues and opportunities. Inclusion is about ensuring a role and a place for everybody. Sometimes when we do direct delivery in recreation, we miss the people who don't come to our programs. We lose people that, like, I never go to the Canada Game Centre in Whitehorse because that's not how I recreate. So I don't really have a voice. In as far as other things, unless I find ways to engage that. So it's easy to miss people. So we need to value that knowledge we can gain from people, and that helps us reduce and remove barriers. Not everyone's going to want to participate in recreation, and that's okay, but we still need to make sure they have an opportunity to have a voice. And I think, Katan, it was your post from the last learning event where you said you learned some things about recreation that you didn't know before when you went out and talked to people, when you heard their voices. So, I think that's really important. And then the last one that I feel is important is empowerment. So when we can engage and include or be inclusive, we can start to empower people. And the World Health Organization explains empowerment as a process through which people, or your residents or your members, gain control over the factors and decisions that shape their lives. So control comes by increasing or building on their strengths and building their capacities, which is training or things like that, so that they can, you know, get access to what is more important to them. Because if people don't feel like they have those capabilities, abilities, or skills, like what Adam mentioned earlier in the call, it's hard to feel like you can contribute or be part of something. So I think you guys have mentioned a few different things that all contribute to how we work with community to make them feel stronger. And as is explained on the next, or actually on this slide, when we empower other people, we can increase what we call social capital. And it's an interesting word, but social capital is basically the value that comes from the social networks of groups of people that allow things to happen that wouldn't happen on their own. So Nisha mentioned volunteering. Volunteering is a great example of social capital. When people volunteer, they contribute to society, but it's not a monetary value. It's not, you know, you can't necessarily put a dollar value on that. So social capital is really important as well. I did have another question, but I also am looking at my time, and I just want you to leave maybe and over the next month, think about what it might feel like for you or for people in your community to feel empowered. And the TED Talk was really about that. So if you had a chance to listen to that TED Talk, hopefully that helped. So I know we're getting towards the end of the call. I just wanted to mention to you that if you do have to sign off on the hour, that's totally okay. If you'd like to join me for a little game to celebrate our community and the upcoming holiday season, you're welcome to, and I do have prizes. But if you have to go, I completely understand. And so I just wanted to summarize, and then we'll move on. I can also send you guys a link, and you can try it on your own time if you're busy too. So. Basically, this learning event introduced the what, when, and how of community building. But make sure that we also remember the why. So why brings us back to our roots and reminds us of the benefits of recreation. Using a community building approach in recreation can help our activities and programs contribute to bigger outcomes like the benefits that are shown on slide 24, which I don't have up anymore. But we know that recreation strengthens community leadership. It builds trusted relationships. It fosters health and well-being. It encourages self-esteem and positive self-image, and ultimately improves our quality of life. So your last required learning activity that you get to do before the holidays are to reflect on your role as a recreation leader and the place of community building. And it's a really short sort of your own philosophy, so I might not necessarily be commenting on it. I'll just acknowledge that I've received it. It's more of a reflection for yourself. Some people have actually done this required learning activity and put it on a nice backdrop and put it right up on their wall in their office or where they work out of. So you could consider that as well. And when you're done, thank you also for filling out the short feedback form in activity number 7. So I'm just wondering how many people put your hand up or let me know if you need to go. And if a lot of people need to leave, what I'll do is I'll create the game and I'll send it to you and you can play. So Adam needs to go, Katan needs to go, Robin needs to go, Melanie needs to go, Olivia does. So how about everyone has to go? I'm going to send you guys a link. And if you want to join in, you can try it. I'll make it open for the next week. And if you play, I'll ask you for your mailing address, and I will mail you a Christmas gift courtesy of the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon. So I wish you guys all the best. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. For those of you in Nunavut, I know you've got a busy month coming up, so all the best with that. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.